to turn our thoughts to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll read verses 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I was dealing with this text some when I closed out the message 2 weeks ago this morning. But I want to say some more about it. And the particular thing that I want to emphasize here is that I have laid the foundation. This is Paul writing. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. This drops a solemn responsibility upon every one of us. We're all laying foundations. And somebody's going to build on our foundations. For sure it will be our children. And beyond that, other folks that are close to us. And the young saints coming on up. They're going to build on the foundation that we lay for them. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I was thinking this morning, as I sat there in my seat, it came to my mind about Brother Chandler's mother. She was a real godly woman. And she was a woman that knew how to pray and to get her prayers through. She got answers to her prayers. Her children knew that. He told about one time when they were trying to make a crop and they just had one horse and that is all they had to work the crop with. And the horse kept getting in the corn. Well, his brother, older than he, had heard somebody talk about shooting a horse with buckshot and it wouldn't come back. Well, the way they do that, that's true, all right, but the way they do that, they, at some distance, they fire a discharge of buckshot and hit the horse in the flank, and it'll sting him right good, and he'll go away and not come back. Well, this boy had heard about that, but he didn't know just what they did, so he took his shotgun and went down there and point blank shot the horse right in the face and killed the horse. So he goes back up to the house and tells his mother, he said, somebody's killed our horse.
He never come back.
No, he didn't. Well, his mother At first, she said, "Well, my, what are we going to do now? That's all we had to work our crop with, and just what are we going to do?" She says, "I'm going to get down and pray now. Let's all get down and pray that God will deal with the man that killed our horse." Well, this boy knew that had happened. Their mother's prayers always got answered. So we're going to pray now that the Lord will deal with the man that killed our horse. So the boy began to plead, and he said, no, mother, no, don't pray that way. He said, "Let's just pray for God to give us another horse." He didn't want to get dealt with. But now that was the foundation she laid for those children.
Yes, Lord.
And my guess is that if that boy ever gets saved, that'll be the foundation he'll build on.
Yes.
Just pray and expect God to hear and answer prayer. That's the way they came up. I knew Brother Chandler for years, and that's the way he was. He had that kind of faith. It was in his mother, and it came right out in him. And he just believed you could pray and get an answer to your prayers, and he got his answers to his prayers, instilled in him by his mother. Well, our children are going to build on our foundation. I remember my father. And my father was what I called a very godly man. And I never found any fault with my father's life, all of my life with him. He lived for God for many years and was a minister in this Evening Light Reformation for 57 years. He had been a means of succor and strength to many souls and helped many find their way into the kingdom of God. And God had worked very deeply with him and performed some miracles in his behalf. Well, I knew all of this. But on Friday night, before my father passed away, Sunday noon, I went to his bedside and I said, "Papa, it looks like you're getting pretty near the end of the way now. Unless God sees fit to undertake, you're not going to be here long." I says, "How's everything look ahead now?" I said, "Do you see any shadows? Do you feel any hesitancy about going? How's everything look out there?" I never asked those questions because I had any doubt about my father's salvation or his relationship with God. I just wanted his last-minute testimony, up-to-date testimony. You know what he said to me? He never said, "Well, why would you ask me any question like that? I've preached the gospel for 57 years. And I've lived for God the best I knew and understood, and I've helped many folks find their way into the kingdom of God. Surely I'll be all right." He never said a word about that. He just meekly, quietly said to me, "I believe on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'll be saved." Well, I'm sure that he was glad he had lived a victorious life now. He's coming down to the end of it. I'm sure that he was glad that he had been faithful to his post and pursued the ministry of God for 57 years and blessed many souls. I'm sure he was glad of that and for the victories that he had had. But that is all water under the bridge now.
Yes.
He was right down to the end now. And all he pled was just the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll be saved. My father followed a course that never yielded much worldly profit. The ministry is a course like that. My father had given his life to the ministry. And at the end, he never had houses and lands and bank accounts and bonds and things to leave to me and my brothers and sisters. But oh, what a heritage he left me in those few words. Just those few words. What a foundation to build on. I'm earnestly striving to build my house on that foundation. A foundation of humility and of simple faith and trust in God and in the merits of Jesus Christ. And in the final analysis, folks, that's all that's going to count. I'm endeavoring to keep that in mind and build on the foundation of integrity, of honesty, of sincerity, and of faith that my father laid for me. Folks, that's where the victory is. That's where success is. It isn't in the world. It isn't in worldly things.
No.
We might acquire much of this world's goods and turn up in the end a total failure.
Yes.
We might acquire nothing of this world's goods and turn up in the end a great success, depending on how we build.
Yes.
What foundation we build on. I asked you last Sunday morning, I'll ask you again today. What hope will our children have in God if they build on the foundation that we lay for them? I say this ought to strike us pretty deep. And it ought to settle down upon us a deep sense of responsibility. Brother George Harmon, who was the father of Eugene and John Harmon, and this little incident that I will tell, I don't know whether it was Eugene or whether it was John, but he lived in Michigan in those early days, and there was a big snow on the ground, and he was walking in that snow. Well, of course, he was making tracks. And he looked back, and there was one of his boys, Brother Gene or John One, I don't know which. And their father was stepping bigger than they could step, but they was reaching out like that to step in those tracks that their father was making. He said, "My Lord, what am I doing? Here's my boy walking in my tracks. What kind of tracks am I making for him? He's going to walk in my tracks in his life too. Just what kind of tracks am I making?" And he sought God right there to help him to make tracks that would be good for his boy to walk in. I've built the foundation, or I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And folks, let us realize that every one of us are building on someone else's foundation. The foundation is laid. As well as our building on another foundation, we're all laying foundations of our own for those that come after us to build on. Paul told Timothy, he said, those things that I have committed to you, you commit that to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Just a continuous succession right on down the line. And we are admonished in God's word to abide by those things that we have been taught from the beginning. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we're admonished to abide by that, to build on that foundation.
Yes.
But people of our day is going to lose sight of that foundation if we don't perpetuate it. If we don't lay the same kind of foundation, lay out our lives according to the instructions of God's word. If we live a shabby life, our children's going to build on that foundation. If we are unstable souls, have an up and down experience, our children are likely to be like that too. Phone's ringing. If we are reckless and careless about our lives, our children will grow right up under that influence. They'll build on that foundation. They'll be like that. If the older saints are unstable, not solid in the faith, the younger saints are going to come right up, build on that foundation. If we lower the standards of God's word, play around with God. Brother McCoy said to me one day, I was holding a meeting in his congregation in Dayton, Ohio. And we went out to visit some sick folks along the line, but on the way he was telling me about some folks that were clamoring in his congregation there against some of the standards, wanting a lower standard, compromise some of the principles. He says, what do folks think they're doing? Perhaps they're not even thinking what they're doing. He said, here we are teaching the people to trust God and lay aside all help that they could get from any other source and just trust God and trust their children in the hands of God with their sicknesses and these things, and then just play around with God and with His word like that and get in a position where God won't hear and answer our prayers, and we can't back this up to these folks we're teaching this. And what do folks think they're doing? What do we think we're doing? Folks, we're laying foundations all the time, and other folks are going to build on them. And if we lay a compromised foundation, that's the way the younger saints are going to come up, building on that foundation. Now, it's a common saying, I hope not among any of us, I hope we don't talk like that. But I knew a man that he made certain demands on his children. And finally, one of them says, well, you don't do that way. Well, he said, don't do like I do. You do like I tell you to do. I hope none of us talk that way. I hope every one of us are willing for our children and their children on down the line to build on the foundation that we're laying. Now, Jesus said in the 13th chapter of John, verse 15, Jesus never taught that kind of doctrine. I want to make that plain. He never told folks, don't you do like I do, you just do like I teach you to do. But he said in this verse, 13th chapter, John, verse 15, I have given you an example that ye should do as I've done. Folks, can we have that testimony to our children? You do like you see me do now. I'm laying out the pattern here, and you do like you see me do. Are we willing to give this out to the young saints coming up after us? Do like we do. Or are we likely to teach them a higher standard than what we live ourselves? And they can look back at us and say, you don't do that what you're preaching. Well, don't pay any attention to what I do. Listen to my preaching. Folks, that won't work. That's a shaky foundation, and there's a lot of folks building on it. A lot of folks living that way. But Jesus said, you do like I've done. Jesus taught us by precept, and he taught us by example.
Yes. Amen.
In other words, he told us what the principle of truth was, and then he said, I'm going to show you how it works. And he just lived it out. Every word that Jesus spoke was livable because he was living it. He spoke right out of his own soul, everything he said. And it was livable. It's livable today.
Amen.
Somebody asked Brother Weldon down at Bakersfield, Roosevelt Weldon. He was working on the job, and he'd been talking to the men that he worked with about salvation and the Word of God and so on. One of them said to him one day, he said, how do you know the Bible's right? He says, because it works.
Amen.
Folks, we need something that works. Something for our children and their children.
Yes.
Something for the young saints and them that will come on after them yet. Something that works. Not just something to preach and teach and something to talk about, but something that's practical, right down to earth. Working, living. Let's lay a good foundation. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And whoever the others are going to be, we might not know. But they're going to build on the foundation that we're laying for them. Lay a foundation on the solid rock of eternal truth.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus said the wise builder digs deep and lays a foundation on a rock. and he builds a house that'll stand. We need to be careful to leave a heritage to our children and to those that will come into the kingdom of God after us, that if they follow us, they'll make it all right. They'll stand. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart." Oh, how we need to learn that. He laid a good, solid foundation for you and me to build on, and he left us a heritage in those few words, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." And folks, that's what you and I need if we're ever going to make a success of living for God. We need to be meek and lowly in heart. Paul in the 4th chapter, "In all lowliness and meekness." Folks, that is the foundation principle of our faith and of our living for God and making a success of it, is lowliness and meekness. God help us to lay that kind of a foundation out here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Get yoked up with Christ and live with him and learn how to live. He's going to teach you how to live. Not just by telling you certain principles of truth, but by showing you how they work. How they work out in actuality. You know, a teacher in a schoolroom teaching mathematics or English or anything, maybe, she will explain to her pupils how this problem is worked out. But when she gets through explaining, she will build an example of it and put it on the board and work it out step by step right in front of her class, so that it will make a solid impression on them. Now, all these problems of this category work out just like this. This is an example of it. And she'll show them That's the way Jesus taught. He laid out certain things and he said, "Now watch me, yoke up with me and learn of me. I'm going to show you just how it works out." And he worked it out right before their eyes. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." God help you and me to learn to think like Jesus thought. Amen. Learn to think like Jesus thought. Goes ahead to tell what kind of a mind he had, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," emptied himself. The margin says, it has emptied himself of all of that equality with God and all that glory that he had with the Father before the world was, and all the glory and grandeur of heaven. It has emptied himself of the whole thing. Came down to earth in this valley of confusion and took his position as a man, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's humbling himself again. He humbled himself a lot when he came here. But now he humbles himself a second time as he's in here meeting the problems of life, just like men meet the problems of life. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus had the basics. He had the fundamentals. And I'm showing you now, he says, how they work. And he says, you follow me now. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We need a change of mind, folks. The mind which was in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21, he says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, Christ walked this way. He lived this life. He manifested the practicality of it. And he said, you step right in my steps. Folks, are safe steps to follow. And I say, if you'll follow him and just follow him on and keep following him, you'll follow him right into glory one day. Step right from this time's world right into glory, following the Lord. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In another place he said, John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus went away. Jesus never continued here. But did he leave the world in darkness and without light when he went away? No, he said, ye are the light. Matthew 5:14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they set it on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. That's you and me he's talking about now. Ye are the light of the world. The church of God, the disciples of Jesus Christ, are the light of the world. He didn't leave the world without light. But he says he giveth light to all that are in the house. A man doesn't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but he sets it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let our light be so shining. Let our lives so demonstrate the practicability of the principles of truth upon which we build, that there'll be a general diffusion of light throughout. We'll be giving light to one another. And in another text he says, it giveth light to them that are coming in. The new people that come in. People of the world that come into our midst. New converts that are joined to us. Our light gives light to them. When people can come and sit among us for a considerable length of time and still be in darkness and confusion about some of the principles of truth and the standards and the doctrines in which we believe and teach, it makes me wonder if we're letting our light shine just like it should shine. Jesus said it gives light to them that are coming in. They ought to be able to see something but what they can see in us. And the way we're living and what we're doing. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world." God wants some people that are right. He wants people in the world today, just like Job was, that he can point right out to the devil and the devil's followers, whoever they are. Have you considered this person? People that he can point at. I remember Brother S.T. Walker way back when I was a boy. He would work with people at the altar and he'd give them some general instructions as he felt led. And then he would tell them, if you run into anything that you don't know how to handle, or you don't know what to do, just watch these saints around here. They'll show you how to do it. Just watch them. We hear it so commonly said, and it's said among us too, many times, get your eyes off the people. Don't watch the people. Get your eyes on the Lord. Just don't watch the people. Well, it might be necessary to do that, but God pity us if it is. God pity us if it's necessary for us to tell people don't watch the people. I think we ought to have a congregation of saints that are living this life and holding the standards of God's Word, that we could tell them just like S.T. Walker told the new converts back there, just watch these saints. And they'll show you how to do it. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, he spoke a great something here, I think. I call it great. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The key words there are those last words, "for your sake." What manner of men we were among you for your sake. Paul called these same folks in the 2nd chapter of this epistle in the 10th verse, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you." He said that was for your sakes. In other words, in the language of my text this morning, "I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon." I behave myself holily, justly, and without blame, unblameable, among you for your sakes, that you could build on the foundation that I'm laying here for you. The example that I'm working out right before your eyes, and you would be holy, just, and unblameable. Folks, let us think seriously about the things we do and the things we say and how we act. And if any of us are more or less unstable souls, get right down into that and stabilize our lives and our experiences to where when those who come after us build on the foundation that we laid for them, they'll be stable, steadfast souls. Amen.